Good evening. Welcome to our third and final Jaguars fan forum. We're pleased to have you with us this evening. And whether you know it or not, it's being streamed worldwide on the web. And we expect a good portion of the 25,000 members of the Union Jacks fan club in the United Kingdom to be watching at Jaguars.com. So there are a lot of people who are taking part in this evening. Understand what this is? Part of who will be watching will be other teams from other leagues to see how the Jaguars interact with their fans. See, the standard here is to be transparent, for you to be able to touch the franchise, which you're here to do this evening, and for the franchise, and you can see a lot of the staff members around, to be able to touch you. And so this evening is a great opportunity for you to hear about the business side, to hear about the football side, and to see the big picture of where the Jaguars in Jacksonville are going together. All right? Ready to get started? Just a couple of pieces of housekeeping. We're going to have Chad Johnson, who's going to give us an update not only on the renewal process, the business plan, the construction. We're going to hear from Dave Caldwell. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley. And when Dave and Gus are finished, they'll take your questions. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to step right over here if you've got a question in person, where you'll relay your question to me. I'm a microphone hog. I don't like to hand it off, right? But just so that we can get through as many questions as possible, you paraphrase your question to me. I'll get it to Gus and Dave. You can stand right there to make sure I get it right, okay? And then JP will be taking questions from the folks online. So we're good to go. Let's get started with an overall big picture perspective of where the franchise is on the business side of the hallway right now. The ticketing side, the construction side. Obviously, if you walk around, you can see that there is a lot going on here to make the experience world-class. So the best person to do that is the person that you all would interact with as season ticket holders. Chad Johnson is the Senior Vice President of Sales, and he is working hard to make this the best experience in the stadium, in the league. So please welcome the Jaguars Vice President of Sales, Chad Johnson. Chad.
Hey there. First off, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for taking time in your busy schedules to come here tonight. I can promise you, this is our third one now in the last about week. I can promise you you're in for a special treat. And this really falls in line with our philosophy here of being accessible. As Brian mentioned, you're gonna hear from our general manager and head coach, which there aren't many teams doing right now, but also being transparent and holding ourselves accountable to what we're doing here in the business side. So you'll find from our guys say that we're doing that. So I appreciate you being here. The season ticket holders, as we know, are the lifeblood of our organization, and you'll get a lot of great information tonight.
All right, Chad, let's talk a little bit about where you are from a ticketing perspective, what you're doing with your business plan, what these folks can expect to see and hear from you, not only tonight, but in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Well, January and February are probably our two busiest strategic months in planning and getting things ready. I think in the next couple weeks, you'll all get your renewal packages via email. This year, we're going to be sending them out electronically. We want to make it very easy for you to understand everything and interact quickly with that. So keep a lookout for your inbox. But I think it's important for everyone to understand what we've gone through the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. We spent a lot of energy on some of the surveys that you all had filled out throughout the last year. Many of you got the NFL Voice of the Fan surveys, some internal surveys that the Jaguars sent out. And our operations staff and our sales staff have literally gone through every one of them, down to the individual answers. I can promise you, you're going to start getting follow-ups on some of your individual points. But overall, there was really three things we heard a lot. The first thing we heard our fans want is they want recognition. As some of you may know, we're coming up on a pretty exciting season, our 20th season here. How many of you have been season ticket holders since the beginning? Look at this. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. We believe, and you've told us, that you should be recognized for that. You've stuck with us throughout that entire time. So we will have a plan to recognize not only our 20-year season ticket holders. They will be recognized by permanent displays in the stadium where you can take your guests and walk and show them, there I am, day one. You'll be able to wear stuff throughout the arena, but we're going to recognize all of our 10 years. We have people that have been here 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It's important that we recognize your service to us and that you've spent your hard-earned dollars with us. So recognition was one. Number two was value. We heard a lot about year-round value. And it wasn't as much, Brian, about prices, but it was, you know, listen, I support the Jaguars 365 days a year. and I buy these tickets. I want some value from that. So we're going to create a program that will engage you 365 days a year. So you don't just follow us from beginning of the football season in August until the season ends. You follow us all year round. And your business doesn't stop running after the football season. So we'll have this engagement program you'll learn about in your renewals that'll keep you engaged year round, that'll give you unprecedented access to special events, behind the scenes information, unlike we've ever delivered. And the last thing we heard was choices. We're no longer in a world where I can say, hey, here's the tickets you buy and here's the benefits I'll give you. You all have told us that you each want something different in your ticket investment with us. So you're going to be able to go in and choose the different benefits packages that will work for you. So I see people here like a family. You're coming with your kids. You're going to want some different events, like maybe going on the field after the game and throwing the football around or taking pictures and doing clinics. Some of you are businesses, so you're going to want introductions and networking events and things of those natures. So we're going to give you choices this year where you'll actually be able to pick and choose what's most important.
All right, I'm sure many of you want to know what's going on with the big video boards, right? The construction here at the stadium. There's nowhere I go, whether I'm standing in line at Publix or walking on the beach, where someone doesn't want to know, A, how big are they? B, how deep are the pools, right?
Yeah, right.
And C, will it be done on time?
Yeah.
So enlighten us.
Well, where number one, the pools are not deep enough for me to do a cannonball, so they will be a little different here, but I will say that that is a question we get a lot. The scoreboards and the technology we're about to put in the stadium here will completely change the experience you have at Everbank Field. We have some renderings that have only been shown one time, the last fan forum here. You know, a lot of people, when they say or hear of scoreboards in the past, they always talked about Cowboy Stadium and Jerry Jones, right? And those were 120 feet long, enormous. These scoreboards here will be 60 feet by 362 feet long. More than double. But more important, yes, exactly. I mean, it'll completely change everything. Now, what you see there isn't necessarily an image you may see during the game. What this will allow us to do is provide you content like we've never been able to before. You know, maybe it's multiple angle replays. Maybe throughout the game you'll have live fantasy statistics, live out-of-town scores, and content like you've never been able to have before while you're in the stadium. So this will give you a complete different experience. And then as you can see here, the entire north end zone area will be transformed into a gathering place, a party deck, an experience that when fans are watching our game, maybe in New York or Green Bay, and it's freezing cold in December, and then they pan over. Here we are in sunny Jacksonville, Florida, and our fans are in short sleeve jerseys or lounging in the pool, and it'll really give Jacksonville the look it's supposed to throughout the country.
Sounds exciting, and it will be done in time for the first game.
This will be done on time for the first game. Now, it's important. I talked about unprecedented access. You, our season ticket holders, will have sneak peeks, previews, and access to see this process as it goes along. It will be ready at the end of the summer for us to kick off the 2014 season.
How many of you remember Mr. Khan's first press conference when he came here as the owner, where he held that ticket up and he looked the camera directly in the eye and he said, "We will make this the best ticket in town and one of the best in the NFL." You remember that? I think you can see, obviously, that he and Mr. Lamping and the staff are working to deliver that to you. So, Chad, you're going to hang around, take some questions?
Yeah, so I'll be around at the end for questions. As Brian mentioned, these aren't just the biggest in the NFL. These are the biggest in the world. And we will be delivering the single best fan experience here at Everbank Field. And that's why it's so important. We're full every night, and we show everybody what we can do here. So thanks so much for your support, everyone.
Okay, is this on? There we go. All right. How many of you watched the Super Bowl? How many of you stayed through the second half? All right. Well, no, look, the game got a little out of hand. But I wonder if you remember that the cameras were focused on one person in particular a lot. John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks. How many of you watched that and immediately started thinking about Dave Caldwell? Right? I know I did. See, because he kept talking about how he built a championship. So our next presenter this evening is a gentleman who is charged with building a champion. And if you know anything about Dave, you know he has touched some of the most successful franchises and most successful quarterbacks and most successful coaches over the last 20 years in the National Football League. And so he's going to spend some time with you this evening going where they were and where they are headed. So please, a big warm welcome for the Jaguars general manager, Dave Caldwell.
Sir? Well, you guys are too kind. You're too kind. But isn't that great, those scoreboards? How about our owner, Shad Khan, and our president, Mark Lamping? It's officially the worst part of your week is going to be leaving Everbank Field. I mean, pools, scoreboards, cabana service, sign me up. I won't no longer be in the press box. I know that. But really excited to be here tonight for you guys. More so, Chad talked about transparency. That's been our belief from day one. Gus, myself, Shad, Mark, we're wide open to the media, to the fans. And when we came here, we said this needed to be a collaborative effort. Not just myself, not just Gus, not just the coaches and the players, but it had to be everybody, the fans, the community. We challenged our personnel staff to take ownership of this team. We challenged our coaches to take ownership of the team. We challenged our players, and Gus did a great job all year, take ownership of the team. We need you guys to help us take ownership of the team. You guys are as much of a partner in this as we are, and we can't do it without you, and we need you every step of the way, and we appreciate your support to this date. It's been an incredible year. I'm really excited tonight for multiple reasons. The first is, as a first-time general manager, rookie general manager, my first season's over. And I promise you, my wife Joelle and my son David are really happy about that too. So, but everyone says, "Man, 4-12. How did you handle it? We were at the Senior Bowl a couple of weeks ago. What a down year! Never looked at it that way once. And I know our coaching staff and our players never looked at one that way once. It was the most challenging year of my personal life, but the most rewarding. And the most rewarding because we brought a tremendous head coach into the city of Jacksonville." We realize we have one of the best owners in the NFL in Shad Khan. We know that. We brought over 35 families to this community of Jacksonville that are high character families amongst our coaches, our equipment staff, our training staff, our video staff. We built this community up because of great people that we have here. It was a great community already, and it has exceeded my expectations. City of Jacksonville is unbelievable, and the support you guys have given us has been unbelievable, and I appreciate that. So we're really excited about that. And the last thing I'm really excited about is we had step one last year. That was to establish the culture of the franchise, bring in some youth, bring in some talent, get the coaching staff squared away. And I'm really excited because tonight we're going to review step one a little bit. And instead of me just telling you about our players, I want to take some time and show you a little bit of video and show you what we see and why we're excited about some of our young players, but also we're going to take those guys and we're going to add them to some of our veteran players, and we're going to see what our plan is moving forward. So with that being said, we'll just go right in a step, look at some of our picks from last year and see how they panned out. We all know we took Luke Joko with the second overall pick. Right? After week four, we said, you know what, we're going to trade Eugene Monroe. Went into coaching staff, talked with Gus. I'm like, this is going to sting a little bit at first. But come April and May, we're going to be really happy we got extra draft picks. And we're going to make Luke play left tackle. Well, that's what he did. And in doing so, we found out that we have a pretty good left tackle. Right here, he's going against Robert Quinn, one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. And he's doing a pretty nice job at his first ever exposure at left tackle in the NFL. Allows the quarterback to get rid of the ball and enable us to have a big play with, as we all remember, Justin Blackman. And hopefully at some point in time, he'll be back with us. Here you see some of the reasons why we like Luke. He's got very quick feet. He's an exceptional athlete for a big man. And he's got good strength, and he can finish a play. And this is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I think he was in top three in sacks in the league this year. And in doing so, on the right-hand side, we found Austin Pastor. And we found ourselves a starting right tackle, somebody that played guard his whole career. And because of the trade to Eugene Monroe, we forced him into the starting lineup, and he did a really admirable job this year. A with our second pick. You guys all know Jay Sipp, Jonathan Cyprian. So when we drafted John out of Florida International, a small school, we thought it might be a little bit of a challenge for him to jump in right away. Well, it wasn't. He was a veteran right away. We knew he was a good, strong safety. He could support the run. And we're lucky enough to realize that he can also do some of these things, too, against the pass. He's got great anticipation, understands all passing concepts. He's a good athlete. He's got great hands for the interception, and he can finish off a play. So we're really excited about him. He's a rookie strong safety in the NFL. He had started 15 games, 98 total tackles, 3 forced fumbles, so we know he can be a hard hitter, and he had a sack. But this is the thing, you know, Peyton Manning's been around the league for a long time, so he sees a rookie strong safety against one of the best tight ends in Julius Thomas. And I remember this play in Denver, I was sitting up in the press box, I'm like, well, I know where this ball's going. And credit to our coaching staff, is they did a really nice job of coaching up Jonathan, and sure enough, Peyton went to him, and he did a heck of a job, and we're going to see a lot more out of him with this. And coached it and did everything that our coaches said and played great technique and ran with one of the best tight ends in the league. So those are two guys that we feel really good about, our cornerstones of our franchise. Left tackle, strong safety. In the third round, we took Dwayne Gratz. It's hard to find starting corners in the NFL. Trust me, I know. Been around a few teams, and it's always hard. Well, we're fortunate enough to feel like we found one in the third round last year. Gratz started 8 games for us. Probably would have started all 16 if he didn't get injured. But not only can he play the ball and intercept the ball like he did here, but he's extremely physical. He's very tough-minded. He'll get beat once, and he'll come back, and he'll make a play. And that's what we need of our cornerbacks. This is a perfect example of what we talk about tough-minded. If you remember the Cleveland game, first play of the game, gets beat deep by Josh Gordon, one of the top receivers in the NFL. Coach Bradley had a nice talking to him on the sideline, and he comes back, and next series, he intercepts the ball. And that's the mindset that our players need to have and that they're going to have, is they're going to make the next play and they're going to get better on every play. So Ace played in 15 games for us this year, slot receiver. The best part about Ace is 51 catches as a rookie wide receiver, as a slot receiver. He might be little, and some people said he couldn't really run, but you know, in this game here, it looked like he ran pretty good and ran away from some really good athletes. But we expect big things out of Ace coming up here. He's going to be our slot receiver, and I give our coaching staff a lot of credit. About halfway through the season, we felt like we didn't have a guy that could come out of the backfield like a Darren Sproles type, really good player for New Orleans Saints. We're like, we don't have a guy like that. Well, if you remember some of our games, we put Ace back there, and he was really productive. So you're going to see him in a lot of multifaceted positions for us this year. And then this is the real reason why we drafted him. A lot of people forget he didn't have great numbers from average, but these 88 yards didn't count because of a penalty. He's an exceptional punt returner. And he can take it to the distance anytime he catches it. So we expect big things out of that coming up in 2014. D-Rob. My number one question everywhere is, what's up with D-Rob? How come he's not playing more? Well, he's been a quarterback his whole life, his whole career. And as we went back and we started watching all of his carries, and you see some of the glimpses here with D-Rob, he's got what we call juice. And he gets the ball, excellent burst through a hole, and for a quarterback, he's not afraid to finish off a play either. And we love his temperament. We love his competitive spirit. And we love the fact that he will do anything on the field that we ask him to. He was a very good special teams player for us, covering kicks. But we feel like in the future, he can do some of this stuff here that we see first down. And he's got excellent vision. He's got excellent burst through the hole. But for a guy that's about 205 pounds, and hopefully next year maybe about 215, 220, he can finish off runs. He gets hit here right at the 36-yard line. And after contact, you get 4 or 5 yards. So, you know, we're really optimistic about D-Rob. Josh Evans. Josh, former Gator great, as I understand. Local boy here. Started 11 games for a 6-round draft pick out of Florida. And what Josh brings is really nice temperament. He's tough, he's competitive, and he's really instinctive. And as you see here, he's not afraid of contact. Josh has done a really nice job coming in, and it's hard as a rookie safety to come in and play right away. And both he and Sip did a really nice job this year of being the leaders back there in the secondary, and that's a tough job to do. And then we got Demetrius McCray, a little bit unknown guy that we drafted last year out of App State. And he's a small school player, what we call, Division I AA Championship Conference. DMAC comes from App State. We weren't going to play him a whole lot coming into the year. And because of injuries and some other reasons, he was lucky enough to get his first start against the Seattle Seahawks. And it was not too big for him. He was as calm, cool, and collective as a 10-year vet. And you see here, I mean, they challenged him deep right away, and he did a really nice job. This is a 6'1", 200-pound corner that runs about a 4.5, and he broad jumps 11 feet. So we're really excited about DMAC. He's highly competitive. He's really smart. And the best thing he did for us this year was cover kicks. I don't know if you guys remember the Thursday night game, but made a really big impact play on punt coverage, a reverse field position, and it helped us win this game here against Houston. And he's physical. So really feel good about that coming up here. That was step one for us. And part of our thought process was, what is the hardest position to come in and play? We all probably say quarterback, right? Yeah. But defensive back secondary, we felt like, as you saw the Seattle Seahawks, they've had a secondary that's been together for three, four years. Really talented group. But so we said, let's make a priority of upgrading our secondary last year. Two safeties, two corners, and we feel good about that. You know what? We got some good players. We got something to build on. We got good competition there. And we're not done building there. We're going to keep adding in the secondary as we are the rest of the team. But our work didn't end there. Our scouting staff did a great job after the draft in signing this guy, Leroy Reynolds. Linebacker, got to start the last couple games of the season. And what you see out of Leroy is explosiveness, toughness, and speed to close. And we got a great coaching staff, but they can't coach this. He's tough, he's physical, he's aggressive, and you'll see this right here. He gets held up, he gets his helmet ripped off of him, and he makes the tackle. That's our mindset here in Jacksonville. Avery Jones, big defensive end, defensive tackle out of Georgia, was a rookie free agent, was not drafted. Our scouting staff did a great job of identifying him as a guy that could come in, we can develop, and he can play. Well, he had to play, and our last game against Tennessee, he's a big 6'4", 320-pound defensive end. Really instinctive, as you see here, completely disrupted this play here, and is athletic enough to get back into a play and get his first sack in the NFL. Wow. So whenever we can find 6'4", 320-pound defensive ends that can pass rush, we're excited about that. And the best part about Avery is there's no quitting him. For a big guy, his motor's always running. And you see here, he's chasing down. And then John Lutulele. So after the draft process, after the college free agency, we had the waiver wire. And the waiver wire is we kept looking to upgrade the roster, upgrade the bottom half of the roster, special teams. This is a guy that started the season in Seattle. He got cut off their team. Wasn't good enough to make it, but was good enough to come in and contribute for us and play for us. And you see John here, he's really instinctive, he's got great speed, and he understands how to play the game of football. So between he and Leroy, they've really upgraded our linebacking crew and our special teams. We went to the waiver wire with the mindset of, how can we improve our special teams? Well, 10 of the players on our coverage unit, punt team and kickoff team, weren't on our roster last year. This year we finished in the top 5 in special teams. And that's a... And that was a collaborative effort. That was our scouting staff, that was our coaching staff, and most importantly, it's our players. And they did a great job. So, John, and then we take... We take those 10 rookies and we add them to Puz, who is our only Pro Bowler this year. And we're looking to have a lot more coming up in the future. But we expect Puz to come back and be better than last year. Once you get that taste of that Pro Bowl the first year, they usually have better years because they want to go back. Andre Branch really came into his own this year. Struggled a little bit as a rookie. Finished the season with 6.5 sacks. and we expect big things out of him. Send Derek. Perfect example of a guy that came in, signed a one-year contract on a prove-it deal, and he proved it. And we rewarded him, and we paid him what we felt like was fair market value. To Senderic's credit, he probably could have went to free agency next month, but he said, Dave, I love it in Jacksonville. I love Coach Bradley. I love the coaching staff. I love what we're building here. I want to stay here and be part of this community. We talked about Austin Pastore going to go into the season as our potential starting right tackle, and we feel really good about him developing. Only played 1 year last year, was his first ever at right tackle. And then we got our tight end, Mercedes Lewis. Gino came in, had a really nice year for us. We know Cecil, he's a good playmaker, really productive receiver for us. Tyson, really strong. Big Roy Miller. Roy just had surgery in the offseason, but he's going to be ready to go for training camp. Alan Ball. Really nice year as a starting corner for us this year. He's a guy that was kind of a little bit of a journeyman through his career. Came in and started 15 games for us. And then on top of that, we have, did I miss it? There we go. Yep. We have 10 draft picks. So like we said with the Eugene Monroe trade, it stung a little bit, but we're really happy right now because we found ourselves a right tackle. We got a couple extra draft picks. We got the number 3 pick overall. And we got 2 fourth-round picks, 3 fifth-round picks, and the whole process starts all over again. College free agency. Maybe we find another couple players. The waiver wire. Find some more players. And then we got regular free agency starting March 11th. So with that being said, really excited about the future going into step 2. And I hope you guys are excited as we are. But I know the best part of tonight's about to come, and I'm going to introduce our leader of our franchise and our head coach, Gus Bradley, and I think you guys are going to enjoy what he has to say to you.
Now, it's a pleasure to be with all of you tonight. It's awesome. I get cranked up for this stuff. We've had a whirlwind of the last month since the season's over. I mean, you can imagine the Senior Bowl. I mean, most coaching staffs get the opportunity to coach the Senior Bowl, and it's kind of a downer. Where we competed, we went there. I mean, we saw 100 players. 100 players in 7 days. We got a chance to coach 55 of them, spend times in the meeting room, watch film with them. I mean, all this time, when there's a big class of juniors coming out, 90-some players, I mean, what a chance to compete and find out about this class. So it was an amazing week, and I think what I'm most proud of is we were really held in high regard. I think you read about where they said, wow, Jacksonville, the staff, they went down there with energy, they coached it up. I said, oh yeah, man, that's how we do things. But it's good. Anytime we have a chance to put our organization, to put our team in high regard, we're going to do it now. That's a commitment to it. And we've had a great time. Then we ran up to the Super Bowl, did some things with Shad and Mark Lamping, and got some time to spend with them. I mean, then we flew back. I mean, it's been crazy. Crazy time, but a good time. Now we're into the draft, free agency, scheme stuff, interviewing coaches. There is no off-season now. There is no off-season. But I have had a little time with the family, if you know what I mean. You got to take advantage of that. It's so important. And speaking of family, hey, Vito, I know you're here, man. Look at Vito back there. Let me share a story with you, Vito. I want to share a story. This guy right here, he lives in Jacksonville. That is Jeffrey Atkins. Jeffrey Atkins. He's a local magician at A Touch of Magic in Jacksonville now. I took my family down there a couple weeks ago. We went and saw Jeffrey Atkins. I mean, he put on quite a show. He did card tricks. I mean, he was flashing these cards back and forth. And my family, we were in awe of this guy. He floated a girl in midair. We saw that. I mean, he cut a girl in half. I mean, all this stuff. I'm sitting in this crowd going, this guy's unbelievable. And the crowd, they went crazy where we were watching this happen right in front of our eyes. Well, after the show, I got a chance to meet old Jeffrey Atkins. Got a little backstage pass. I went back there and I said, Jeffrey, this is incredible, the show you just put on. How did you perform all those acts? How did you do it? He said, Gus, magic relies on deception. It relies on deception. It relies on trickery. And to many, just can't be explained. I said, you know what? That's pretty good, Jeffrey. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, there'll be no magic taking place. There'll be no magic. And I mean that with all sincerity now. You guys are too important to us. And this is what I mean. There'll be no trickery. We're not going to trick you. You're too smart for that. That's not how we operate. There'll be no trickery. There'll be no deception. There'll be no deception. And when it's all said and done, we'll have an explanation. And that's what we're going to accomplish tonight. That's what we're going to accomplish. You are important now. You are important. And our fans, I think, you know, we talk about have appreciation for our fans and for everybody that supports us. But I think the one word that's missing is what? A genuine appreciation. A genuine appreciation. I've always thought that we need to bring that to this organization. Now, the difference is, I'm talking about the guys that take care of our fields. It's one thing to go up there and say, hey, nice job with the fields. But it's different to go up to them and say, hey, I'm serious now. Our fields are awesome, and we appreciate it. Where it's heartfelt. And I think that's the same thing how we handle the dining staff. We appreciate what they do for us. Well, I'm telling you here tonight, that same, it's not an appreciation for you guys, it's genuine. It's a genuine appreciation. It's heartfelt, man. I appreciate it. We had some good times. Don't kid yourself now, it was tough right away, wasn't it? That 0-8 is like, holy cow, what is going on? But then we had some success. We had some success through it. But all through the time, how about that Thursday night game? Doesn't that give you a glimpse? It gives you a glimpse what we're striving to become and how that environment. And for you guys, you got to understand, when our defensive line gets lined up in a three-point stance and it's third down and the quarterback can't hear the signals, are you kidding me? That's a great feeling for this team. So when we say we all got to do this together, we're all doing it together. And it will come. It will come. We trust that it will come, but you're important. We're truly excited to be here. I know Dave and I talked about these. These fan forums are outstanding. They're outstanding. I told you earlier that you deserve to know, but we're even more excited to tell you everything we can. Now, that doesn't include the third pick of the draft, all right? But we'll have an opportunity to answer and try to answer all your questions tonight. Any question that you have, let's get them answered. If it takes 45 minutes, an hour, let's get them answered the best to our ability. You deserve that. But we'll have a good time. We all have that genuine appreciation for your support, and you deserve to know our vision. You know who that is right there? Anybody got a guess? She became deaf and blind at 6 months of age and lived to be 88 years old. She was the first deafblind girl to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. Who is it? Helen Keller. Helen Keller. Unbelievable lady. Unbelievable what she accomplished. Let's take a look. She wrote 12 published books. She went to be a world famous speaker and author. There's more to come now. She was President Lyndon B. Johnson awarded her the Presidential Medal of Honor. Unbelievable honor to receive. She was recognized by the Gallup poll as the most widely admired person in the 20th century. They just keep coming. They keep coming. How about this? There's street names after her. Huh? In U.S., Spain, Israel, Portugal, and France. She's an incredible lady now. You go back there, we hold her in high regard, as I say. But she was once asked, would there be anything worse than being blind? Mrs. Keller, is there anything worse than being blind? Here's what she said. Yes, there is. To be able to see and not have any vision. How strong is that? How strong is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, we can see and we have vision. We have vision here in Jacksonville. So let's share some of that. Our vision. Okay, let's talk about this win forever that you hear me talk about. You've heard some conversations about. You see, winning forever is simply this. Our objective, you might say, Gus, I can explain win forever. Let me answer. That means we win forever. But winning forever is simply this. It's the objective of us to be the very best we can be. If I can be at my best all the time, every day I'm at my best, then you win. And that's the same thing for you. If you're your best that you could possibly be, that's winning. That's winning. And that's our mindset. So a mindset to be the best and trust the results will come. We just believe. Let's go out there. Can you imagine if we have 53 guys that are active guys and we're going out there and we're playing and everybody's at their best. I mean, everybody's playing to their highest ability. Doesn't, if we just trust the results will come? It's that simple. But it's a mindset we've got to be strict on. We've got to be strict. But in our vision, we have to define a standard of excellence. Hey, this is what's been taking place. Let me redefine to you what's acceptable. You thought that was high effort, but it ain't good enough. This is what we want, and we show them. So we have to define a standard of excellence of what's acceptable. We have to redefine it. That's number one. We have to build a competitive roster. We have to compete. We have to get guys in here that will compete on a daily basis. So important. Number three, how about this? Create a positive culture on and off the field. On and off. We're doing that in our locker room. We're doing that with the guys we bring in. We made some cuts. They're hard. 27 guys we let them go to other teams last year. And at some, we may have made a few mistakes. But it was so important that we develop a culture that we want to go in this direction. The ones that believe what we're doing. And that's what we got accomplished. And that culture goes off the field as well. How about this? Capture every opportunity to enhance our reputation as an organization. Thus, the Senior Bowl. Would you say, Gus? Capture every opportunity to enhance our rep. Oh, yeah, the Senior Bowl. We're excited about the Senior Bowl. We're excited to go down there and coach these guys. What a great opportunity, because we're going to capture it now. That's part of competing. You've got to capture every opportunity. How, why? Because if you want to be the best that you can be, you have to capture all the opportunities. Number five, how about get better? Just get better. It's that simple. Just improve in everything you do in our journey to be the best that we can be. And I believe, just being here this short time, I see a lot of humility in Jacksonville. They have a lot of humility. Good people, big hearts that have a lot of humility, not a lot of ego. That's great. Well, you know what? Let's represent that. Let's represent that. Let's go on our journey and build this whole thing to be the best we can be with a lot of humility. So when it's all said and done, people are pulling for us to be successful, not trying to drag us down because of how we approached our journey. So that's it. So win forever. Work to maximize our potential. Mindset to be the best and trust the results will come. Define a standard of excellence. Do things better than they've ever been done before. We don't want to be compared to anybody else. We don't care how anybody else did it. We're trying to be the best. Our best. That's all we're striving. We're always competing. Either you're competing or you're not. It's our central theme. Okay? Number two, can build a competitive roster. Through the draft primarily. You heard Dave Caldwell come up here and talk to how important is the draft. Showed you last year's draft picks. Now we made a trade to get what? More draft picks. Let's build it through the draft. And then supplement with free agency and take care and invest in guys we develop. We're spending a lot of time developing these guys. Now let's take care of them. So that's the ways you build it. Create a positive culture on and off the field. How about this? Entice others to want to be a part of what we're creating. That free agency, did you hear that word? Hey, Jacksonville's a good place. I like what they got going on down there. I've heard some good things about them. I've heard good things about their culture. Come on down, take a look. Entice them to come down here. That's through a positive culture. Capture every opportunity to enhance our reputation. Display tremendous energy, right? People are drawn to positive people. You're drawn to that. So display that energy. Display that energy in all aspects and build a franchise our friends can take pride in. And get better and build it through humility. Honesty. That's a key component. It's no game now. I'm being honest with you. It's the same approach we have in our locker room. If a guy's not playing up to his capabilities, we're honest with them. We're real honest. because we have a standard that we're creating. And it's no different with you. Right? They must know the truth. Humility allows to identify weakness. If you have humility, you'll identify your weaknesses. Yeah, I need to get better at that. It's a sign of humility. And when you can identify your weaknesses, then you build them to be your strengths and you get better. So how important is humility? Very important. Very important. As an organization, we believe in these five essential principles. Now, let me share your story about Sheila Anderson. Let me capture your attention again. Now, Sheila went to a pet store to buy a parrot. She was real lonely at home, if you know what I mean. Real lonely. She wanted someone to talk to her. So she went down to the store. I gotta get a parrot. So she went, took the parrot home. The parrot sat in the cage. She was watching the parrot the whole time. Parrot didn't say a word. Didn't say anything. She stared at it the whole time. So she went back to the pet store, said to the manager, "Hey, I got a problem. This parrot doesn't talk." Store manager said, "You need a ladder. You need to buy a ladder from me. Obviously, you don't get it. We put the ladder in the cage. Parrots like to climb and exercise. Once they do that, maybe they'll talk." So she went home, put the ladder in the cage, watched the parrot. Guess what? Parrot still didn't talk. So she goes back to the pet store, says to the manager, "Hey, got the ladder. Parrot still didn't talk. What's going on?" He said, "You know what? Maybe you need a swing. Put the swing in the cage. Parrot likes to climb the ladder, get exercise, jump on the swing, go back and forth. They'll get it to talk." So she got the swing, put it in the cage. Guess what? Still didn't talk. Went back to the pet store. Now she's getting a little perturbed over the whole thing. Went back, said, "Hey, parrot still didn't talk. Got the swing, got the ladder. Now what?" Store manager said, "You need a mirror. You put a mirror, man. Put the mirror in the cage." Parrot climbs the ladder, goes on the swing, looks himself in the mirror. I mean, for sure, now we'll get it to talk. That's all it is. So she went home, put it in the parrot. Parrot looked in the mirror, swung, climbed, looked at himself in the mirror, went back to store manager and said, "Parrot died." Parrot died. Store manager goes, "Yeah. Did the parrot die? Well, that's terrible. Did the parrot say anything before it died? Did it say anything?" Here's what it said. She said, "Yes, it did. It said, 'Don't they sell food down there in the pet store?'" Hey, how about that? We get all caught up, man. Through this process, let's not get confused with all the flash. There's a whole lot of flash, the ladder, the swing, the mirror. You get confused with all that. You got to what? What's important is stick to the essentials. Stick to the essentials. But that's what we've got to do, don't we? Let's stick to the essentials. Let's not get caught up in all the flash. Let's stick to the essentials that are so important in building this organization and taking this to the next level. You can count on us to stick to the essentials. You can count on Shad, Mark, Dave, myself, the whole organization. We're going to stick to the essentials now. It's going to be a fabulous journey. How we're going to do, I don't know. We're going to get better. We're going to keep striving to be our best. And let's see what happens. We trust the results will come. We trust it. But there's our win forever. There's our standards, our five principles that we so heartily believe in to share with you that vision. We have 9 home games at the bank. 9 home games, including preseason. 7 regular season games. Look at that schedule. I don't talk too much about the future or our schedules, but I know for you as fans, when you look at that, what an awesome home schedule. What a great opportunity for us to get better. We want the best. We want to play those guys. It helps us get better. We want the full strength. That's good. Let's take on the challenge. But it's outstanding. And I can't forget about our annual game at Wembley in London either. Eh? Opportunity. I know this year in front of our Union Jacks fan club that we've got that are also watching this. It's an awesome opportunity. We're playing the Cowboys over there. And we've got 25-some thousand fans there to help us along. We're going to need everybody in our journey. And we'll take all. With that in mind, I have a message I'd like to share with you to end this whole thing. Hey, it's a story about my family. Hey, I want to tell you a story about all my family. There they are right there. But in particular, I want to tell you a story about one family member. One family member that happened to. Her name is Anna Bradley. Hey, it's our 2nd oldest daughter. Well, when Anna was 8 years old, we went on a family vacation to Minnesota. got on the plane and flew, landed in Minnesota. Unbelievable. We're going to have a great time. It's the home of famous amusement parks. Famous amusement parks. So we get a chance to go. We came around the corner. This is what we saw. Kids in the pool. They were playing. My kids were like, oh, my gosh, what a time, man. Can we go in the pool? Can we go play? I mean, they were cranked up. Well, we saw roller coaster rides, food vendors, funnel cakes. We saw the Scrambler, all these games, all these rides taking place. While walking around, Anna grabbed my hand. She grabbed my hand and pulled me and pointed at this. The Steel Venom. I said, the Steel Venom? What's going on here, Anna? What are you talking about? Well, it was this. The most fearsome roller coaster that I've ever seen. She's pointing at it. I said, Anna, I mean, this thing was incredible. 75 miles an hour, 185 feet high. I said, oh, gosh. I said to Anna, are you sure you want to go on this ride? Are you sure? This challenge is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. She said to me, Dad, if I wanted it to be easy, I would ride the merry-go-round. Huh? How about that? That was their mindset. But our organization has a sense of purpose. We all have a sense of purpose, and hopefully we shared that with you. We have a vision and a plan with Mark. We have conviction with Dave, the whole organization. It may not be easy, this journey we're all going on. It may not be easy, but guess what? We ain't riding no merry-go-round. We ain't riding no merry-go-round. We're all excited about going for a ride, right? Let's go for a ride in 2014. As a matter of fact, let's all buy the ticket. Let's buy the ticket. Now, I really appreciate your time. I know we're going to have a chance for question and answering after this. On behalf of Dave, the Mark, the whole staff here, what a privilege. I mean that now. I mean a genuine privilege to be able to have a chance to meet with you all tonight. And thank you so much for coming.
All right, here we go. If you have a question that you would like to ask, come on over here. And we'll work from this side of the room. But in honor of the 25,000 Union Jacks folks who've been watching on Jaguars.com, we'll start with JP with a question from one of them. JP, take
it. Okay, yeah, if you want to ask a question here, as Brian just said, you can wait in line with Brian, ask the question to Brian, and he'll relay it to the stage. We do have some off Twitter tonight. This is at Stefalos Prime. He's a member of the Union Jacks fan club, guys. He asked, hi, Gus and Dave. What do you think is a bigger priority, the offense or defense, and what position group going into the offseason, free agency, draft, et cetera? Dave? Gus?
That's a good question. Gus and I just had this conversation last week, and, you know, division, do we want to be a defensive team, an offensive team? And I think for us, we need to have a good core of players, whether it's offense, defense. We have a pretty solid core right now, but we need to get some dudes. We need to get some guys that can come in and be difference makers for us and add to the guys that we already have. So to that answer was pretty both.
All of the above. Fair enough.
I'm here with Daryl Jokel, and he heard you say something last week, Gus, on Jaguars.com about tweaks, tweaking your offense, tweaking your defense, and Daryl wants to know if you could elaborate a little bit on what tweaking is.
Sure.
Not twerking.
Yeah.
Tweaking.
No, sometimes we look at, during the season, you get a feel for your guys, and as you go through cut-ups, and I think it's still, we're competing to try to find out how to position our players to give them the best chance to succeed. And that's what we've got to look at. We have a scheme, we have an idea, but we want to be open-minded enough to mean that instead of having a defensive end play right over the tight end, maybe we put them outside the tight end. That will give them an opportunity to get more of a rush. And so that would be an example. The linebackers, instead of playing them off the ball, maybe we put them on the ball. And they're on the line of scrimmage. So it gives a threat that we could blitz them from that edge and get quicker to the quarterback, yet stay in some of the same framework of our scheme. So that's what I mean. Maybe just subtle alignment differences that give us each player a chance to be more successful.
Another question off Twitter, guys, from the Union Jacks fan club. Jonathan Justin at Ninian777. It's about Justin Blackmon. And what's the latest with his situation? You said earlier that you expect him to be back, but what's the latest and when do you expect that to happen?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of gray area because there's only so much contact we can have with him based off of league rules. My understanding is he's doing well. And with Justin, our mindset was to take care of Justin the person first and then make sure that he can live a healthy life after his time here in Jacksonville and to be a productive member of the community of Jacksonville or wherever he may be. And that's really our mindset. As far as Justin as a football player, we hope that that day will come where he'll be back, but we're just focused on him and his health right now.
I got a question for you, Dave, from Chris. He wants to talk about Maurice Jones-Drew and the process you go through with a veteran player who's obviously been well-established here in Jacksonville as to figuring out what the market is for him.
Yeah, for Mojo, you know, we love Mojo. We said all along we'd love to have him back. And, you know, his representation and Mojo, they know exactly how we feel about him and, you know, his future here in Jacksonville. So we just have to let this one play out and see where it takes us. But I think you know, for the market is you have to decide, you know, what a player is worth to you and your franchise, and that's your price and that's what you're going to pay. And then if somebody else can beat that or if they don't think it's worthy of that, then, you know, you have to draw a line somewhere along the line. And hopefully we get him back. And if we don't, we just have to be prepared, and we will be prepared with some alternative moves that we'll make.
A question submitted earlier tonight here in the audience from Mary Campbell. It's about quarterbacks going into the draft, free agency and such. How important is height to a quarterback? Pretty specific question, guys.
Well, I think that it's gone down a little bit, the importance. No, I think that, you know, we're really looking for quarterbacks that, you know, sometimes there's three qualities you look for: timing, accuracy, decision making. And, you know, sometimes height doesn't have anything to do with that. So, I mean, although it can be an asset, we don't, I don't know if we're in position in our conversations where we can push anybody aside and say, all right, let's limit our pool to these guys. I think we need to go through the whole process and really evaluate everybody if they have the traits that we're looking for.
Mary's a financial advisor. No, she's not. But what her question is along those lines. She wants to know if when you talk to a free agent, you mentioned the fact that Florida doesn't have a state income tax.
Absolutely.
There you go. That's what you were looking for, right?
And that the cost of living in Jacksonville is very cheap.
How about expounding just a little bit on that, how important that is, though? When guys are looking for a home, they're not just looking for the team. They're looking for a fit.
Well, very much important. And that really goes back from the day I got hired here where our mindset with Shad, and he allowed me to go pursue other opportunities and make sure that I wanted to be here. And we did the same thing with Gus and everybody, that we want people that want to be part of the Jacksonville Jaguars and part of the community of Jacksonville. And we got to make sure that we may want some players, but it might not be a good fit for them. So we want to make sure that the guys we get here really want to be here for the right reasons.
Question submitted earlier, I guess this is for Dave. I'm not really sure where to go with this one. This is from Kim Kraft in the audience. When will Jackson DeVille's contract be renewed?
That's actually not for me.
Who's late? Gus, anybody?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he hits a free agent market.
Gosh, I've got Jim here, and he wants to know if you can expound a little bit on the process of leadership. Obviously, it's something that you're very passionate about. I told him it's not a problem for you to talk. It's maybe a problem to stop talking. You've got so much to say about the topic.
Well, I think, you know, for me, simply said in this time frame, I think the number one quality of leadership is the ability to serve. I think that's the most important. And I think it goes along with humility. And I think for me, my job as a leader is to serve our players and to put them in position to where they can be their best. And not only our players, but our coaching staff and everybody in this organization that takes on a leadership role has that same mentality. And I think it's really simply said, it's just to serve. And if you can serve, I think you have a chance to really show great leadership.
Question from Facebook, Gus, which player improved from beginning to end of the season on offense and defense the most for you? That's from Matt Tate off of Facebook?
Well, offensively, Ace Sanders. I think he really did a nice job. I mean, part of it was I give credit to our offensive staff. You know, you started to see us as we figured out Ace's strengths that we moved him into the backfield and had him do some things coming out of the backfield. Once we kind of got a feel for his qualities. So I thought he did a nice job. I thought another one was Demetrius McCray. I thought even though he didn't play as much, I think he's got a really high upside. He was extremely competitive in practice. I mean, it's easy to say Jonathan Cyprian, right? He really improved through the whole thing. But a name out there that you saw up there in a picture is D-Mac. I think he did a nice job.
Dave, a question for you from Tripp. Young Tripp would like you to expound on what you think is the college conference with the most NFL talent this year.
Well, that's kind of a loaded question, huh?
A little. Maybe we should ask him what he thinks your answer should be.
That's a good idea.
SEC.
Loaded question.
Sounds good.
Hard to argue with what they've put out the last 10 years.
Question off Twitter for Gus. This is from at Christian Bojgo. What is the one thing you took away from the UK game last year that will help you this year when you go back to Wembley Stadium? Is there anything about that week, the game day experience itself, that can help the team next year now that you know?
Yeah, you know what? It was. I mean, the results weren't what we hoped, but I thought the facilities and the things like that were all tremendous for us. I think that what we look at is just travel. That's the one thing that we have to consider. It looks like this year we may have an away game prior to that game. So now it's, you know, do we leave Monday? Do we leave Sunday? So those are the things that we're tweaking right now and going through to make sure that we continue to have a good trip out there.
Dave, Mike wants to talk about the third overall pick and how comfortable you might be to just sit there. Or do you look at it right now and say, I need to get higher or I need to back up?
If we had a pick right now and we sat at three, we'd be really comfortable. If an opportunity presents itself to move back and get some picks, we'd be willing to do that. And if we had to move up for a pick too, we would do that too. So to your question, very comfortable if we had a pick, but wouldn't rule out any other two opportunities.
Another question submitted earlier from George Klug, a season ticket holder here tonight. At the end of the year, Dave, he says you mentioned the Jags wouldn't be big players in free agency, but now you're $50 million under the cap. How can you not be big players, and what are the plans in free agency generally this year for you?
Yeah, I think our mindset for this has always been to spend, but spend wisely. And like we said, we need players that are cultural fits here. And I don't think that, and I don't believe that in history that of the NFL, that the teams that spend the most win the most Super Bowls. And that's not the case. And so for us, it's to spend wisely, to build this franchise slow and steady. Gus and I always talk about, you know, building a roster, and you know, every day. But that doesn't mean you have to spend money to do that. You know, we're going to do that through the draft. We'll get some free agents. We'll fill some holes. And ideally, we'll get some guys in here that can come in and start right away so our 10 draft picks don't have to play right away like last year. You know, our 7 draft picks, we needed those guys to play right away, and they did a nice job. But ideally, we'd like to get to a point where maybe our first-round draft pick is going to start right away or be a part-time starter, and then the rest of them get a year to kind of get seasoned, and then they grow into their roles. So it's not the one who spends the most that wins the most.
Question for you, Chad, Senior Vice President of Sales. Have Joseph here, and he heard what you had to say about the boards and about the pools and the cabanas. He wants to know about this proposed dome-looking structure that he saw on the internet and on television.
Well, I think that was mentioned that was some stuff that was shown at the Super Bowl with our owner and our president, Mark Lamping, and it's really just meant to show the type of vision we have as an organization. That's by no means anything that's short-term. What it's meant to do is show that we are thinking big, just like the scoreboards. We don't want a big scoreboard. We want the biggest and the best. And we want to show what could happen here at Everbank Field, where this organization could go in the future, and it was just a concept more than anything else.
Do you happen to know where he can see the picture online? I don't know off the top of my head. I don't think it's a Jaguars.com.
I'm not sure where
I think you have to Google it and see
Times
where
Union.
Somebody has it.
Times Union.
Times Union website. I think ActionNewsJax.com also had it.
Another question off Twitter. This is from at Alex Agias UK, a member of the Union Jacks fan club. As a duo, how do you establish players' value going into free agency? maybe even rookies coming in. How does that work, and where do you begin putting a value on a player?
Well, from our pro department, we'll start out with we'll take the pool of free agents, we'll look at them, we'll evaluate every single one of them, and then it's all comparative and it's all relative. So we try to fit to like their skill set to comparative players that have maybe signed a deal in the last year, 2 years, and say, well, he's very comparable to the player X, so he'll probably, you know, cost at least that much is what the agent's going to want, and then we have to decide where our threshold is and how much we'll pay for him.
Now, a follow-up on that, speaking with agents, do you speak to agents year-round? How does that process work?
Yeah, you know, it's different because, you know, year-round, yes, because we have 53 players, so a lot of them will call and ask about how their players are doing, and, you know, some may call and say, hey, can we renegotiate, can we do this, can we do that? So the quick answer to your question would be yes.
I have a question for you here, Gus, from Tricia, and she wants to talk about the brain and concussions and how that has impacted your coaching style and how you work with the players and how you coach through the process, because you may learn late in the week the concussion symptoms come back and you might not have a player that you've been preparing for. So how has it impacted you personally?
Well, it is difficult, and fortunately the NFL is being strong in their approach to handle this. I know that has changed our teaching. I mean, we emphasized it before, but I think now we show our players clips, you know, what's legal, what's illegal, how they, you know, for player safety. You almost have to change the mindset a little bit. You know, defensive backs, he's a guy running across the middle. What they maybe, their decision process before, they can't have that same decision process. So we constantly try to show them the right way and the wrong way. Now, if they do it the wrong way and we're involved with a concussion, it is a process they have to go through to get cleared. And it's difficult because we don't know till the end of the week if we're going to have that player or not. So the best thing is to do it prior, is to teach them the correct way, the proper way, show them film of what we're looking for, and hopefully we don't encounter too many.
Another question off Twitter, at Stuart Dixon, for another member of the Union Jacks fan club. The success of the Seahawks, Gus, of course, you were there the last few years, world champions now. Does anything that you put together in the defense there affect you now? Or you said earlier it's two separate things, you're going to go your own way. But how does your time in Seattle kind of bleed over to now in building this franchise?
Well, I'm not going to argue the fact that there is a lot of similarities. I mean, I watched the Super Bowl and I say, well, that's Phoenix and that's one Y, and that's, you could call out the calls. So a lot of the similar things. So, you know, I think the biggest thing that I took from that game was the importance of a rush. You know, when a quarterback has to throw the ball in under 3 seconds, you know, or around that time, you know, it can help out the coverage and things like that. So I think when I watched the game, I said it brings validation to how important rush is. It brings validation to the things that we're doing, you know, can play at the highest level. And, you know, it was good for that. But you're right. There's some things we're doing differently. We felt we may not have the same personnel, and therefore we've got to really come up with our own ways of best utilizing our personnel, like the lightning package or Jason Babin walking around and Andre Branch. That's something we did not do in Seattle last year, but we used it this year because of our personnel, and we've always got to stay on the cutting edge of that.
Gus, we have Harry Anderson from North Dakota State who wants to know if playing in a small school and working your way through the process as a coach has given you a perspective on having guys from small schools and small conferences as part of your roster and how you integrate those guys and the value that they bring.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, like, you know, obviously, you know, we've drafted, you know, Luke Jokel and the SEC and the ACC, but there is DMAC, you know, from Appalachian State. And I think that knowing the level, seeing the quality of guys they're going for, or seeing a guy from Georgia Southern, they play North Dakota State, I have a good idea how they play. You know, I think, you know, it still comes back to how they perform on film. But you still have to take in consideration the level of competition. That is a big part of it. And generally what you see is those guys that come from the smaller schools, at times, it's just a little bit longer transition for them to get caught up with the speed of the game. But if they're really good, they're really good.
question for Dave off Twitter from @CountCaleb. He says, I expect our 2014 quarterback to throw for 60 touchdowns. Is that too conservative? But in general, I think he's asking about just the quarterback play the last year or so. And you
no,
said
it sounds like he wants somebody to throw for 60 touchdowns.
It does. That is what it sounds like for sure. You said earlier, though, that's a position where you want to improve a bit, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, our vision, and so everybody knows here, is, and Gus and I have always talked about, is, you know, build this roster, and if a quarterback presents himself to take, then we're going to take him. But we can't sacrifice the future to reach for somebody that may not be there. And we hope through this process, through the draft process, and through our, we just finished our draft meetings and the combine, that maybe one presents himself. I don't know if that's going to be at the third pick or in the sixth round or whatever it might be. So we just have to do what's right for this franchise, not just for next year, but for 8, 9, 10 years down the road. And, you know, Seattle's a great example for that. You know, Gus was there for 3 years, and they built a roster, and then Russell Wilson presented himself, and 2 years later they won the Super Bowl. So we just have to be wise with that decision.
Take a breather for one sec, because Mary Ellen doesn't have a question for either of you gentlemen. She just wanted to let all the UK people who are listening to this on Jaguars.com, all the Union Jacks folks, know that she and her husband made the trip to London this year, had a great time, and wants to invite all of those folks to come back here and enjoy Southern hospitality in 2014. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, JP. You got another one?
Can they all stay at her house?
Question off Twitter from the Union Jacks fan club. @ThunderFish80 is the handle. Is it true the Jags are playing the Cowboys at Wembley to get a more home team feel because everybody hates the Cowboys? That's a broad question, I think, right? Dave, no? No comment. All right, back to you, Brian.
All right, John. John wants to know what it's like in the war room. I mean, we see some static photos of it and some video without sound. Is it chaotic at times, or is it all so well orchestrated? Just some thoughts on what draft day is like in your room, Dave.
Yeah, we try to keep it as relaxed as possible. We'll play some music. We'll hang out. No drinks until after the draft is over. But, you know, it's really most of the work's done days prior to the draft. So it's really just sit around, wait for opportunity, whether we talked about a trade back or trade up. And, you know, be decisive when our, you know, a lot of those discussions, it's not like we're with the third pick and we're like, oh, who are we going to take? Gus, who do you want? We've discussed that already, and we have our game plan. We trade back 2 spots, 4 spots, 8 spots, and that's all been done. So it's pretty relaxed. We believe in levity and having a good time. So just kind of wait and see.
Question for each of you off of Facebook. Matthew Cooper asked, how has your first year as a head coach and your first year as a GM changed you both as a person? Has it changed you at all, Gus?
Well, and not that we were really good people in the first place, but I know Dave and I talked, you know, when this whole thing started, and we said, you know what, I think it's important that we keep each other in check. You know, he hired me for the person I was in the interview, and I came here because the person he was in the interview. So let's keep it that way. Let's not get caught up in too many things, all the flash, that we change who we are as people. But it's hard at times. It really is. But, you know, I think, you know, we have a great working relationship. We're friends. Our families get together. And we feel like, you know what, we can challenge one another. And it keeps our egos. It keeps everything at bay. And it really keeps our focus on our soul deal of getting better. And so it's been great. Yeah, I think there's been changes. I mean, to go through some of the things that we have to, it really tests your conviction. So I think, if anything, it's even strengthened our conviction on the way we're doing it.
Dave, for you, when did you actually start to feel like, oh, I'm a GM now in the National Football League? Was there a point for you?
I don't know if that point has come yet, to be honest with you. But I think Gus said it best. I think, you know, for us, this is a... We have jobs. We love to do what we do. We're very passionate about it, but it's not who we are. And we got great kids and good wives, and we're just excited to be a part of this with the community of Jacksonville.
Question for you, Gus, about the Leo spot. Corey wants to know if a veteran free agent is a good fit to grow that spot and find more talent, or if you're looking for such specific qualities that you've got to go to the draft for it.
No, you can get through free agency. So, you know, it is a certain type of person that we're looking for as far as their athleticism and their physical traits. So, you know, we'll look at free agency, waiver wire. I mean, we'll do anything we can to find them. So, yeah, we're not limited just to the draft.
Nathan Watts off Twitter wants you to spill some secrets here, Dave, about the upcoming draft. NRWatts94 is the handle. Who is the top quarterback prospect in the draft this year? That's a pretty bold, straightforward question, but name a few guys that have had a good offseason and going into the combine here that you want to kind of watch
out. Can I deflect the veto?
It is.
Veto?
It might be Vito's like secret handle, actually. That might be Vito.
You know what? We have a lot of work to do, and not to spill the secrets, but we just finished our scouting meetings. We got the combine, and like we said, hopefully the best one will present himself to us at some point in time.
Well done.
You still want me to ask after that quarterback answer? All right, David's got a question about the quarterback as well. And this is more along the lines of if you're taking a quarterback, does a dual threat, does a mobile quarterback, like the guy that we saw win the Super Bowl and Russell Wilson, make sense in this day and age of the NFL? Is that something you want to have?
I believe that, and Gus and I have talked about this a lot, that the number one thing a quarterback has to do is throw and win with his arm. And there's so many games in the NFL that you can't predict how it's going to start. You could be down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. So you got to have a guy that can come back and win a game. Or every 80% of the games are decided by 7 points or less. So in the last 2 minutes of a game, you have to be able to throw the ball. And that I don't know if that will ever take place for athleticism. Now, if you can find a guy that can do that and be athletic too, and there's some of those in the NFL, that's pretty good. And I know those are the type of guys for Gus and our defensive staff that cause us a lot of fits.
Question submitted earlier here in the house tonight, Chuck Loveday asking about Terrence Knighton. The release of Knighton, of course, had a great year in Denver. Got him all the way to the Super Bowl. But some of the details of letting him go and some of the reasons why, and it turned out pretty good for the Jags with a force in the middle, a new guy coming in, right?
Sure. You know, I think for us it was a situation of our culture here is we need – productive players, for one, but they also have to be cultural fits, too. And not that Terrence was or was not, but I think before we got here, his tenure here was a little bit up and down. And sometimes change is good for a player. And not to say he couldn't have done that for us, but sometimes you get with a really good team and you kind of raise your level of expectations. And Coach talked about our standard. And, you know, I'm really happy for Terrence and what he did there in Denver. And he had a nice year. And, you know, not... I think that was best for all parties concerned.
Question over here from Rick, and it's more directed to you, Gus, but he does want to express his appreciation for your commitment and your passion and the leadership that both of you have brought. What he really wants to know, though, is what is the locker room like at halftime?
What's the
locker room like at halftime? He didn't give me a score.
Right.
He doesn't want to know what it's like when you're up 20-0 or when you're down 20-0. He just wants to know in general what it's like.
You know what? We don't have much time in the locker room. So we generally go in right away, and the offensive coaches go in one room, defensive coaches go in another. The players come in, get something to drink and bathroom breaks or whatever they have to do. We go over the adjustments we want to make offensively, defensively, special teams. And then by the time we get in there, we have about 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes with our players. So, we'll have the plays drawn up on the board. We quickly go through all the adjustments and the mindset. We come up and meet in the middle of the locker room. One last reminder of how we want to go out in the field, usually go get better. and then that's it. I mean, but it really is a short time that we have to operate. So it's organized chaos by the coaches, really.
Another question submitted earlier tonight, Mary Klug, asking about the philosophy of building a team from the middle out. I think talking about size and such. Last year, there were, five defensive backs drafted, little guys, she says. Is that going to change this year? Is defensive back not quite a priority going into this draft?
Well, it wouldn't be our number one priority. And what we discussed earlier is defensive back, we went with that in year one because we felt like that takes the most time for guys to really get into their groove. And most players, especially in the defensive back, will make their biggest jump from year one to year two. So if that holds true, you know, we'll be really excited about Sip, Josh, and Demetrius McCray. But yeah, obviously, you know, we need to address the interior offensive line, defensive line, and build it, start to build it through the inside out. And, you know, obviously the guys closest to the ball are the ones that impact the game the most.
I've got Zach here who wants to know if you've already decided who you want in the draft or if that's going to play out over the next couple of months.
I think it's still going to play out, and obviously it depends on maybe who goes first or second in the draft and if there's an opportunity to trade back, too. There you go. Do you have an idea who you want?
Zach, who do you want him to take?
Benzo.
Johnny Football. You haven't heard that yet, have you? Everywhere you go.
Speaking of big-time college names, of course, this is from Zachary Cron, who's here tonight, who submitted earlier. Questions about Denard Robinson. You know, you mentioned a little bit of, in your presentation earlier about what you liked from him, but are there plans for him beyond just a running back in the future? Can there be some other things he can do?
No, I think really the plan is, and Gus, what it probably we've talked about this, is really just running back, and we think that's what he does best and when he's got the ball in his hand. So I think that's we're going to really concentrate on that this year.
Final questions from John. John has been following Vito Stellino from the Florida Times Union on Twitter, and Vito's covered the league for more than 50 years, folks, so he knows it. And his thought is, and this is what John wants you to prove or disprove, that the draft involves an awful lot of luck. An awful lot of luck involved in the draft playing out. And he's been reading that, and he wonders what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I guess I talked to Vito earlier, so we should just take a vacation until May 8th, right? If it's all about luck, right? There's no sense in watching any video or going to the combine. So we're done with work, I guess, until May 8th, right, Vito?
Obviously, that's not the truth, or that's not your take.
No, you know, I think you make the best decisions you can make on draft day based off the information you have. And I think maybe where the luck comes in is players got to stay healthy and they have to be on the field to play. And this is a contact sport and players are going to get hurt. You saw it with Luke Joeckel. He was doing a really nice job the first five games of the year. And bad luck, he got injured. But I think, you know, to make the best decisions, you got to do a lot of work and it doesn't involve a whole lot of luck.
All right, and that'll do it. Thanks, Gus.
Thanks
Dave.
Guys.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
And on behalf of the entire Jaguars organization, first of all, thanks to all the Jaguars.com folks, but our heartfelt thanks to you for spending some time with us this evening.